Boom. What is up? Long time no talk on the internet to be recorded.
Welcome back. Open tabs. How are you, Keith?
I am really good. Really, really good. So, hey, let's start this off. I got like multiple things to talk about. So, we should just make a list. We could do a 1 hour show right now on Red Dead Redemption. We could do a 1 hour show on Car. We could do a 1 hour show about how to go to Mexico. World's 10 best days of my life. We could do a show about the thing we made that worked. We could do a show. What we got to catch people up, dude. What do you want to talk about? Grab a hat, grab in the hat of topics and go.
Hold on. My arm's in the hat. Hold on. I'm reaching around. That's actually coffee, but
that was really good.
Red Dead Redemption, how to go to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And now when you say Car, do you mean like K-A-R-R from the hit 80s television show Knight Rider?
Or are we no, talking not about with something? The not with the yellow pattern. Kit and Car and mm-hmm. Goliath, all three of them.
I mean, can we talk about that anyway? I mean,
yeah,
I
we know could. You that would be great. That's definitely in the list.
What's up with Mexico? Let's start there. You know how to go to Mexico?
I had no idea. So I'm going to pop this up on everybody's radar. My wife and I celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary. And we could get into a quick topic real quick. Quick side topic is this. What is the, when you have a milestone, like a big milestone, 20 years is pretty huge, right?
Yeah.
What is the appropriate amount of money to spend for a anniversary? And this is how we kind of came up with it.
Mm-hmm.
How much money should we have saved per year for this thing?
Okay, yeah, got it.
That feels like the right way to go, because
so you just basically try to reach back in time and say, hey, yeah, sure, we should have saved okay, so got it.
Yeah. Should we have saved $100 or have saved $500?
This is valuable to me because my 10-year anniversary of marriage is in April, but hold on, let me stop for a second before you continue.
Oh yeah, right.
Good actually, job, Heather.
No, not good job, me. Keith. There it is. No, it's yes. Good job, Heather.
It's no, no, good job, it's Keith. Good job, both of you. You know, it takes a team. It takes team. It takes a village around a team. It takes it all. You know, it's so yeah. Congratulations. I'm happy for you guys. I'm glad you got to take a break and go celebrate and be in 20 year marriage reflection mode together. So that's rad. But please.
That was fun.
Congratulations aside,
thanks,
please
man.
Continue and tell me more about your plan to retroactively save money, which sounds like a great excuse to just spend a boatload.
Yeah, it kind of turned into that.
And your trip itself.
Well, I'll put it this way. So it's our 20th anniversary, and my wife came to me and said, hey, what should we do? And I said, well, what do you want? Like, after you're married 20 years, it's like having a cellmate more than anything. And
yeah, you're like, let's cut the bullshit. You're like, what?
Yeah. What
you're coming
do you
to
want?
Me like this is a conversation. What do you want?
Yeah, it's like there's no surprises anymore. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So it's like it's 20 years. What do you want? Do you want a ring? Do you want a thing? Do you want to go? And mm-hmm. we have come up with, you know, we have too much garbage. Mm-hmm. And the Komami method of our lives is
the Konami method.
As I like to call it, the condo lady.
Marie Kondo. Yep.
Yeah. What do we want? And the answer is we want to have experiences, not things. And mm-hmm. The wife said, where do you want to go? And we went to Kauai. Mm-hmm. On our anniversary, and our total budget for our entire honeymoon was $2,000. Mm-hmm. When we
this
were
is your honeymoon,
yeah, it was our honeymoon.
When
Heather was 20 years old, I was 20, just 22.
Okay,
and she couldn't legally drink on our honeymoon. That's how long we've been married. That's
right
crazy.
On.
So I said, "Yeah, that sounds good. Let's go do that." And she started looking around, and then later she said, why don't we go to Mexico? And I go, whatever you want. And this is the one thing I really learned on this trip
if my wife said, what do you want to do? And I said, what would you like to do? And I just did that for a whole week and it went awesome. I just
really
that was like,
that doesn't always work.
No. It's not like a little kid where they're like acting like they're asleep and just laying down. Right. It was much more, here are a couple options. What, you know, how about this? Maybe we could do this. What sounds good to you?
Mm.
And then it was that, oh, let's go do that. Great. Let's go. And it was like perfect. It was like getting a menu, you know? And I'm not saying I did that.
And then you handed the menu back still and you were like,
no. I think in a really cool way, she was like really awesome with me and I tried to be awesome with her. And I, you know, this is our trip. So whatever she wanted to do, I was in. Whatever I wanted to do, she was in. But it was like, here are three options. Which sounds best to you? And then someone would pick. So we ended up going to Tulum, which, as you lovingly describe it, as Instagram Mexico.
Yeah, it's the Instagram of Mexico right now.
Totally.
Yeah,
but
it's all, which is not a bad thing, you know.
It's just a thing.
It's just a thing, just like there are many other things. That just probably means they're getting a bit more travel than they used to. And I mean, I went to Iceland earlier this year, and that's totally an Instagram thing as well. That's just the communication and the ability for people to share is what makes
totally
these kind of this multiplication and speed up of a thing becoming a thing. But no, it's all good. Tulum is it's rad. I haven't been, but I've seen many an Instagram giving me good reason to want to.
this is the thing I wanted to touch on with having gone there now and using that thought, the Instagram of Mexico. And now I'm going to really dovetail this into something that's kind of a theme on what we talk about, but it's a leapfrog. And what I meant by that is if you go to India didn't have to put in telephone lines because they leapfrogged to cell phones. So they didn't have to put in that infrastructure. When you're in Tulum, there's hotels that are $60 a night. And then there's hotels that are probably $10,000 a night on the same street. 5 miles long, same beach. And it's literally one street, literally. And the street is potholed and bumps, and then it's smooth perfectly for a while, and then it's dirt, and then it's smooth perfectly. And what I mean by the leapfrog is when that area started getting traction from the early adopters of people going down there years ago, because Pablo Escobar had a vacation home there. Think about that.
Which is a hotel now, right?
Which is now a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did was they have built and designed a street as a community, which is definitely artist driven, definitely food driven. They've done it in a visually beautiful way. So that no one looks at the street being bumpy. Everybody just goes, oh, that's awesome. So when a little restaurant goes in, there's not street art, but it comes from a really cool, and I'm trying to like equate it to something like Banksy-esque. Like the message is more important than the art, if you will. Okay. So you're in a little place just eating like unbelievably great food. With open air and sand on the floor and it's not cheap. It's American expensive. But when you're there, you're like, wow, this is really cool. And all of the infrastructure that you're not looking at because potable water is being delivered to these hotels every day in the back of, kind of busted up looking, water trucks. Right. So the people are going there and going, wow, it's awesome and it's beautiful. But really, the infrastructure around it is crumbling and the other side of the street is a jungle.
Yeah.
But when you're down there, the people that it attracts are people that kind of look past a lot of the dirt and really are into the craftsmanship of all the stuff that's going on there. And I was just thinking, oh, man, in a go forward world. And you live in, for sake of argument, McCook, Nebraska, right? The way you could revamp a town is just that visual way. And if you can get enough people to come and check it out and have great food and have a really interesting story to tell, it'll be kind of its own self-perpetuating, you know,
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Totally.
Self-perpetuating system,
It just kind of felt like the Mexican Silver Lake. You know what I mean? Where it was like, well, what's, you know, Silver Lake is Mexican, but it's like that style is, it got, evidently, it probably got so bad at one point that now it's back and it's hip, and the stuff you overlook, where if you were dropping, you know,
that's part of it, right? People like to
feel first, you know?
Well, there's a couple of things, right? There's a, there's the idea, it's a resort destination. You can, you get catered to, you enjoy yourself, you have some food and fun. There's a little bit of, I think the roughness actually contributes to it, right? That is part of what is going on there, and part of the experience.
Where would you put up with that in the United States? Where would you put up with?
But no, that's why that's what destination travel is, though, right? People like to go to a place. They want to have a first world experience in a third world location or a second world location,
and what's your definition cool about it? Yeah, what's your definition of first world, third world? Because I have one.
What's my definition? I'm using it loosely. First world, I mean, I'm talking about Americans, and I'm talking about America mostly. Big city. They want to not worry about food, clothing, shelter, security of themselves and their belongings. And when I say third world, I'm talking about probably lack of infrastructure. And I'm really saying that in regards to, I think there's a, and this is a different thing, but I think that there is, when it comes to travel, something people like that idea about, like, it's a jungle right across the street,
right here. Yeah,
I'm gonna totally. I'm gonna get this cocktail with some CBD in it. Hold on.
You're nailing this on the head, dude.
And another order of nachos, because the jungle's across the street, you know. So
the artisan nachos.
Gonna have the nachos. Can I take my nachos in the jungle? You know, which is fine. It's rad. I enjoy it. I go, you know, in the same way. But I think that's. This does come full circle to stuff we've talked about before. The only part of it that's like Instagram or whatever that's weird is that there's this hipness and there's this what's the right way to say it? There's this uniqueness of the experience that people have by having the exact same experience that they saw someone else have.
That weird? Isn't that amazing? But
that's just the way that it is now. That's the difference, I think, of communication. That's the difference of, you know, you used to have to find out about a thing 6 months later, and then you would plan your trip in 2 years. And, you know, that series of time might shrink over time. But now it's like somebody goes today and 10 people plan their trip for next month, and 100 people plan their trip for a month after that. And it just pops off so much quicker. But yet we digress. You had a great time. Tell me your top five shareable Tulum pieces.
Shareable. I like that part.
What should I look for? Because, well, it was your anniversary. I assume some parts are not.
Ooh, yeah, it was good.
Acceptable for the pod, you know?
Well, here's the thing. So my top five. I'll talk about the place first, and then I'll talk about the other stuff. Top five, the B Tulum is the name of the hotel we stayed at. Mm-hmm. And that was absolutely amazing. You personally would have loved it. I need to share a bunch of photos with you, but it was like, modern, beautiful, when I mean modern, very, you know, right angles, concrete, they used railroad ties and creosote to like line the walls, beautiful little pools and stuff. The food was off the hook, but it looked like it was definitely built. It was built by a couple Argentinian people. And so it has this really cool, like both earthy It's not like a glass cube that, you know, you see in the Hollywood Hills or something like that. It was much more earth, you know, earth based. That place was insane. And the food was really, really good. You just kind of, you know, sit on the sand and eat and stuff like that. The thing that really impressed me was like the boat came in with the guys that were fishing and all the chefs walked out to the boat and were like throwing lobsters on the sand and fish that were caught right there. And that's dinner.
That's what's up.
It was insane. The drinks were really good.
I want the big one. I want the big one. And you, I want that one.
It was great. They were like negotiating. It was awesome. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if that guy filled up with all of the stuff like two blocks over and then, you know, just rolled in, but I'm like, good show.
Goes around the corner and they dump him out of a ice chest into the boat and he goes totally. Through. He probably caught him.
So that I would throw in there. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed with their customer service, honestly. That was really kind of a nice, benefit. Like people were very interested. Are you having a good time? And that felt good, you know, especially when you're on kind of like an important trip. The other place we went to is called Azulik, and Azulik was down the road. I'm really glad we went to Bee Tulum first and Azulik second. Azulik is basically a treehouse and no electricity. Everything's candlelit. Had two amazing meals there as well and the whole place, nothing's to code. You know what I mean? There's like none of it. Like we were eating in a basket that was on the fifth story of a house built out of sticks that actually swayed back and forth when people walked around, and we walked on the roof to get to our table. It was crazy. They have rope nets hanging 30, 40 feet up in the air with pillows on them outside the bar that you could get smash head drunk and then lay down and look, and you're up 40 feet being suspended by rope, and there's no guardrails, no nothing. I mean, it was gnarly. So that was super rad. Electric bikes, you know, which I always think is the future. We rode those around a lot. My wife loved it because we just cranked and went up and down the street and stopped wherever we were just kind of interested in. Didn't really, you know what day it was, but then ate at a restaurant called Heartwood, which evidently you have to get a reservation a month out now. Beautiful food, really, really great. Again, the customer service there was like, they sat down, the waiter, waitress, server, sat down with you and just kind of like walk you through the menu in a very calm, relaxed way. Like, okay, this is this, and now let me explain what that is. And it was probably like, you know, 8 to 10 minutes of them sitting there with us explaining the menu, which I really enjoyed because all of a sudden I was like super vested. That was really great. And then, you know, finally, I think that the part I really enjoyed more than anything and my takeaway from it was, in 20 years of marriage, you know, everybody has ups and downs and tough parts. And I know I have, and I know we have, but being able to go somewhere and be somewhere by ourselves without children, without friends, without distractions, without really even our cell phones working. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm here with my best friend. And that's the thing I left with, you know, I really, really left with that. This person I chose 20 years ago is still 100% my best friend. And that gets lost a lot. You know, it gets lost a lot with kids, and we have a house and we have budgets and we have businesses and everything that just is, that balloon slowly, you know, it's like you're in a tank and the balloon is blowing up around you. And pretty soon it's just you two. Your faces are pressed together because of life, right? And this is the person you chose because you were in love with a long time ago and said, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. But this is also the person that you chose to make every financial decision with. And this is also the person you chose to progress in your life with. And that gets lost a lot, you know? Right.
And it's also, you don't understand what you're saying necessarily when you say it, right?
Yeah. And not to get on
Yeah, you're twice totally. As old now as you were then, and you are continuously having to recommit and live up to the promises that a completely different Keith and Heather made. You know, it's life's weird, man.
Life. And now that, you know, at 40, when I look back and go, would I have let a, you know, I look at Cash because he's pretty much me at the same thing. It's like, would I let a 10-year-old person decide what a 30-year-old person should do? And it's like, no, that's idiotic. You know,
this actually sounds like a great movie premise, though.
Right. But I let a 20-year-old person decide what a 40-year-old person is going to do, and a 50 and a 60 and an 80-year-old person. That 20-year-old kid made that decision, and we locked in, you know? So the real takeaway from all of it was, dude, my wife is cool as shit. And not only is she cool.
I could have told you that.
I know, but anybody that's committed, but yeah, I agree. But at the end of it, it's like, I got to do something I really, really enjoyed with someone I really enjoyed doing it with. And by the end of the trip, we drank too much. We did too much of everything. Mm-hmm. And we were still laughing when we got off the plane and then took a 2-hour drive home and then walked back in the door and went, oh, yeah, this is our life, you know, because kids are there and homework needed to be done. And, you know, mm-hmm. Cash is like, my shoes don't fit anymore because he's growing 5 inches a day and da, da, da. At the end of it, it's like you don't get many chances to reflect. And if you can reflect while you're still in the middle of it, you know, it's a good feeling to have. So, you know, go back to the thing. It's like, if I have to say, it's like, how much money should a trip like that cost? And the answer is too much.
Yeah.
But also the answer is, you know, figure out how many years you've been married and how much money you want to spend per year. Cause all of a sudden you decide, that's not much money per year, you know? Yeah. And the hard part, and I know you owning your own business and being such a guy that likes to push his rock forward so much.
Yeah.
The thing that we had in a real frank conversation is my wife goes, you know, we've been married 20 years. And she's like, yeah. She goes, you know, you've worked probably 7 days a week, 10 years of our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no way. And then she's like, yeah. And then we kind of laid it out. And I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. And she's like, and you work 6 days a week.
The other 10.
The other 10, you know? Yeah. And I said, yeah. I said, yeah, but I'm doing it for us. And
that's
she goes,
the weird part. It is true. Yeah. But it's also like, you know, and I think this is where I'm at, and I don't know if this is where you're at, but it's like, if you have to find a way, I think that's actually a little misguided, and I'm trying to be aware of that. Cause it's like, I don't know. My situation actually is different than yours. I think you have a really great integration. You're vertically integrated, your business, your life, your family. So yeah. You working 7 days a week doesn't necessarily mean you won't see your kids or something that day. Like if you're, you know, but it's a tricky thing, right? Like if you can't figure out a way to get some piece of that as you go, unless you have a plan like, yeah, 10 years and then I'm going to sell it to a Rockefeller and then I'll be retired, whatever. But that's not who we are either, right? It's just like you got to figure out a way to sew it all together.
I think that's with
a little bit of that reflection and that understanding and that downtime and that exhale, mm-hmm. so that you can make those moments with your kids and continue to make those moments with your wife and have those moments for yourself. Like, you know, and I think that's, you know, it's obviously in the consciousness. People are always talking now about being present and mindful and all that other stuff. But that's the part of it that's interesting, or urgent, maybe it's a better word than interesting, is like, mm-hmm. we're going to be working on a thing until probably the day we go out. And so it's like, how do you figure out a way to not just make for others, but make time and make a space to stare at your children and your wife and yourself and that stuff. So
the thing, I'm in 100% agreement with you. This is the thing that I'm going to throw at that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody asked me the other day, or I get asked quite a bit. It's like, do you want you must be really excited for your kids to take this over. Like when they talk about the winery and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, not really. And they go, what do you mean? You know, because usually that's the goal of anything like that. And I said, no, I want my kids to find the thing that they were meant to do and be real and do it. And if it's this, great, but it probably won't be because there's a billion other things. Right. Mm-hmm. But I said, what I want my kids to take with them is a farmer's work ethic. Because I think no matter what they do, that will serve them well. And that's mm-hmm. something I think they're going to learn. I do think that when you're talking about all of that stuff being wrapped up together, Cash said it a long time ago, or Brielle did, where she's like, you know, my dad doesn't get in a car and drive away to some building somewhere. And I don't know what he does. She's like, I know right where he is and I'm going to walk there after school and I know, and he'll be there and I'll be hanging out. And going back to that farm mentality, that's why mm-hmm. people never, you see old farmers and it's like, are they retired? And they're like, no, they're not retired. They never retire. They just mm-hmm. do more of what they want to do. And other people do the stuff they didn't really like doing.
Yeah.
And that package of, like you, like me, like probably people that are listening to this. I don't want to retire. You know, I thought about that the other day. I don't want to. I want to continue to play this game or a version of whatever this game is every day to the day I die, because I enjoy it and I'm excited about it and I'm passionate about it. And yeah, it sucks at times and it's hard and, you know, all the stuff, but even when it sucks and it's hard, I know if I'm going to be able to beat it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do, like when you and I get to work together, we beat mm-hmm. it. And all of a sudden something that didn't exist 20 minutes ago now exists. And holy shit, that's amazing. And every day there's things waiting to be discovered. And, yeah. you know, just to get back on topic, That was the thing I was just locked into on this whole trip. I didn't really read any books. I didn't do any of that. I just kind of sat there, looked out at the ocean, smoked a bunch of cigars and, you know, drank and did all that. And I kept thinking about the road from 20 to where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And this was kind of my final, you know, my Jerry Springer final thought on it is, I've never been happy. I have moments of contentment,
mm-hmm.
but not, I think if I'm ever happy, I'd be useless. And the thing I thought about constantly was, I really think success is when you can look back at your struggle with fondness. And go, I was there. I thought it was the end of the world. And now I look back at it and go, that was a good time because it got me to here. And I thought about that with my marriage and with my, you know, work life and friends and stuff like that. And when Heather and I were first married, we were broke. So broke. You know what I mean? And how we would go to Northwoods Inn and on twice a week and get the cold slaw and cheese bread. And it was $5 and we were stoked because we were mm-hmm. pumping all of our money into other stuff that was like fixing, you know, broken drywall. But I look back and I'm like, and I think a lot of people look back and go, man, those were good times. You know, when people think about their early marriage or stuff. And as we are all getting older and, you know, people that we looked up to or were their age now. That's the thing, man. If you can look back and go, man, that was a really tough time, but we got through it together and you have a war story and you have a war buddy. Like I look at my wife as more of a war buddy than I do as like my wife. And like, she's been there through all the shit with me and she's been side by side working hard at, or if not harder than me, trying to make it. And when I get to sit there on a beach with my war buddy, and then I get to see her naked later, dude, that, and be happy about all that, it's, that's a pretty good combo.
Yep. That's what's up.
That is what up. That got really off topic. Sorry about that.
Let me clap again. Hold on. Let me clap. Good job, Heather. Good job, Keith. No, it's good. So, and, got a couple lucky kids there. So hopefully they're soaking it up and they, you know, they can take that into their future relationships and have a good model of how it can be. So that's rad.
You know, and that the only reason I'm bringing that back is like my old man who's been married 40 years. He said, there's a lot of people. He goes, when you got married, we couldn't tell you no. And Heather's parents wouldn't tell us no. And we wouldn't have listened. Right. Like, you're 20. You're going to get married. You're insane.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, really. And like, yeah. Heather and I were talking about it, how our very, like, we went to couples counseling before we got married and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Wait, how old is Brielle?
14. My 6 years from now, she's married.
Yeah.
Think of
we
that.
We won't even go into that. We'll say that for another day. Yeah. But like, imagine where your head would be at in 6 years if she was like, Dad,
what blew me away? My Heather brought up the fact that she went to my father's 40th birthday.
Uh huh. That's crazy.
That's nuts. You know what I mean? It's like, this is how long we've been together, right? We've been together longer than we've been apart.
That's all right. You guys are you guys found the cheat code, and you know you beat the levels early. And
that's exactly what I was going to say. And the thing is, it's like, we, if anybody, you know, friends and everybody that goes through shit, it's like, yeah, we've been there and we were there like a long time ago, but this is how you get through that. You know, it's like sitting to a certain extent, like with my parents, with her parents, with other people that I know, that it's like, I know we're going to go through more shit, you know, but mm-hmm. I've been able to sit next to them, and it's like, it's like playing a video game with somebody who's already beat the level. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, just do this. I'll show you right here. And if you listen, you're like, oh, that was easy. Right. And you didn't have to go through the other thing. And as life progresses, you know, you do that with your children and I do that with my kids. And I'm like, dude, no. If you just do your homework every day, you'll get an A on the test because you already did all the work. That's the cheat. You know, the cheat is read. The cheat is do the homework. Because when you get to the mm-hmm. test, you don't have to like learn how to do that, right?
It's so funny. You know, it's like some things, this applies to a lot of things. Like if you do what they tell you,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot easier. But also life is also about walking into a lot of walls and learning the simple lessons for yourself. Because there's something about like just being told that doesn't always work. But, you know. I guess that's what we're here to do, is to have some sort of enlightening or something, or to be and to eat and to reproduce and let it all start over again.
I do think that the biggest difference that our children will have versus us is that, like what we're doing right now, this podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
This will be around theoretically forever. And my kids can come back and listen to it. My kids can look at my Instagram feed. You know, I post a lot and I write a lot of stuff, and it's not because I don't write it for Jaime, you know, I kind of do, but really I read it because my kids are going to look at this stuff. That's the digital breadcrumbs we're leaving. And hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, I even see it with millennials to a certain extent and the generation below. They didn't buy into a lot of the stuff that we were fed and like, yeah, we should be like this. They're like, nah, I think I'm going to change it. And I read a great thing about being poor, like, someone wrote that they were millennial poor, and I go, what's millennial mm-hmm. poor? And they go, oh, you know, like I'm broke, but like I still, you know, buy avocados at Whole Foods. And you're like, ah, okay, I got it. I totally get it. What are you spending your money on? You know, that whole thought behind it is the amount of data the future generations are going to have to sift through or have access to, or can, like right now, I don't really have a recording of my grandpa's voice.
Mm.
I don't really have, I do like kind of, but like not like this, where he was just talking to a friend about meaningful things of his life.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of the information that we're leaving behind, that it's like, oh, okay, this kind of makes more sense, because there's way more information to find out about it.
What do you think? So that's a good, interesting kind of segue, but what do you think about that? Like, do you want to leave everything behind? Like, because if you just extrapolate that across all of the people, it then becomes like the ocean, and there's so much of it that, you know, it increases in value and then it decreases in value. The interesting things that we've taken forward historically and creatively and all that other stuff happens to, you know, has a lot to do with class and access, but also quality, right? Like, yeah. It'll be interesting to see in 50 years or 100 years, like, there will just be so much shit that is recorded.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We're
yeah, it's a brave new world.
We're on this exponential increase in just the amount of data. And I even think about that for, you know, your own children. Like, do I want, you know, you can even think about, do you want every moment? Do you want that every moment understanding of your parents' lives, or do you want something else? Is it something that should be active? You know, I'm starting to think, you know, are there those lessons? Are there those pieces of what I'm going through that I should be recording, you know, explicitly for my children to have later when they're an adult person and more able to look at it as, either something contextual to understand themselves or just a version of how a person can live a life. Cause that's not what I put on Instagram. I mean, there's, you know what I mean? It's like the stuff, is there something explicit that makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you know, the, there's always money in the banana stand knowledge.
Right.
Versus like,
well, I have that your offline LinkedIn. For sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
With me and my kids and stuff, what I have found, or where I have found my voice, is I have a business that I poured everything in one pot. It's my family. It's my work. It's my life. It's uh-huh. my love, right? I'm lucky. Yeah. I know how lucky that is. I know it. I know it. I know it. And I have no right to it, but I also have no right to keep it to myself.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
With that, my kids are growing up in a bar around wine and people drinking wine all the time. And they're growing mm-hmm. up in a vineyard with their grandparents there all the time. What I have left behind now, or what I am trying to do, is with our labels, my children know my grandparents, or their great grandparents, who they are, where they grew up, the whole story. And it's on the bottle,
yeah.
You know, like they knew it. Like they know their my grandparents, like they know their own.
Yeah.
And that's my job, or what I've done with my life, and gone, dude, I'm just, we're making gumbo here, man. I have no idea how this is going to go. It probably is not going to go great, but I'm pouring everything into one pot and this is how we're going to roll. And it takes a lot of work, and it is super hard, because I'm not just Keith. You know, right. I'm Keith Sarlos and Sons.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody sees me out, I can never be a jerk.
That's funny. You're not just Keith. You're also Keith Sarlos, and you're also Keith Sarlos and Sons.
Yeah, 100%. And I know that, and it keeps me super honest, and it's harder. But I've also said that to my kids. You know, I said, if you go out and you do something stupid, just so you know, people on Instagram know who you are because I love you and I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go out and do something dumb, they're going to know who you are. And you know what? I'm going to say the same thing my grandpa said to me. It's like, listen, your last name belongs to me.
Yeah.
And your last name belongs to your grandpa, and your last name belongs to my grandpa. So you got to wear that, buddy, you know, or Brielle. And both of them have, like, Brielle especially, she's like, you know, She knows what it takes, and she has developed a farmer's work ethic. And like, I'm not worried about her. Well, I'm always worried about her, but we'll all end up working for her someday.
Good. I'm ready.
Me too. I'm sorry that, you know, Where to Go in Tulum turned into like Marriage 101, but
hey man, we haven't talked in a while. So
we have, but not recorded it. Right.
Right. So we got to get that out. This is human, right?
This is what this is.
This is a 39-year-old and a 41, 42. How old are you now?
I think 42.
42. Oh, married 10 years, married 20 years.
We had a really good name to change this to. What was it?
Oh, I'm not a robot.
Was it that one? Yeah, I'm not a robot.
That's
CAPTCHA classes. I'm not a robot.
We should just have a different CAPTCHA for each episode. But yeah, that'll be a different show. I don't know what that is. We've got the name unlocked.
So we can either post this or not. But I do have to do a hard out. But dude, we got to get back on this, man. I really miss doing this.
Yeah, man. I've been trying to adjust my microphone for the last 7 weeks. So
you're like testing. Is this thing on? Awesome.
All right. Anything else you want to leave the people on before the holidays?
Before the holidays, I'll go back since I'm still in that same mood. Every single person in the world is looking for someone to love. And I think every single person in the world is looking for someone to love them back. And the thing that I've learned in the recent months is, that whole Instagram quip about, everybody's fighting their own war, right? Be nice out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that I am fast realizing in my before it's too late is, anything we can do each day to make somebody else's life a little bit better is what we're here to do. And if you can find someone that loves you back because you did that for them, that will just keep getting better and better and better. That's a really roundabout way to say it. I'll get to the quick, clean part of it is, no, it sounds weird, but that was like a super heavy, deep thought that I had for like 3 days, honestly.
Yeah.
The thing that I just kind of get to is if you actually find someone that loves you back as much as you love them, that the beautiful part of a marriage is not when someone says, "Hey, I love you. Will you marry me?" The beautiful part of a marriage is when somebody says, to the person they love the most, "I don't want to do this without you." And the person you love the most says, "I don't want to do it without you either." That's the thing. Because I honestly, for me, everything I have in my life started getting better when I met my wife. And I have friends I have because of her. I am friends with you because my wife loved me so much that she took this huge crapshoot to move from a cozy life in Long Beach to the middle of nowhere. And because she did that for me, I got to meet Jaime and I got to make all these different friends and have this business and kids with her. And it's like, I can't imagine how much worse my life would be if I didn't have her in it. And that's after 20 years, man. It's like, wow, I can't believe it. I can't believe I get to do this. That's kind of the theme of my life, you know?
Word. Everybody be good to each other. Have a good end of the year. Maybe we'll see you again before New Year's comes. Keith and Jaime love you. Take care.
Keith and Jaime love you.